You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Au nom de la nation,
in the name of the nation,
je m'incline devant leur
sacrifice. I bow down to their sacrifice.
Je m'incline
I bow down to their family's pain.
Devant la douleur des familles.
To the parents grieving
devant
a son.
Les parents qui pleurent un
the
fils.
Wives and companions who have
les
lost
épouses,
their loved ones.
Les compagnes.
To the children orphaned by this tragedy, I promise the support of this entire country to their fellow soldiers.
Les frères d'armes de nos 13 morts.
That was French President Emmanuel Macron on Monday in Paris during the commemoration of the 13 soldiers who were killed during a mission in Mali. France has intervened in the conflict in Mali and the nearby Sahel region since 2013. The conflict in Mali first broke out in January 2012 when Tuareg separatists in the north of the country started to rebel against the central government in Bamako. The Tuareg, who were descended from the Berbers in North Africa, were nomads scattered across the Sahel in the remote parts of Libya, Algeria, Niger, Burkina Faso and Mali. Today's Tuareg in Mali and Niger complain of poor representation in governments and militaries dominated by the darker-skinned peoples of the Southern Sahel, resulting in the marginalisation and a continued failure to tackle Tuareg poverty. The separatists, led by the Mouvement National de Libération de l'Azawad, or the MNLA, or the National Movement for the Liberation of Azawad, have previously staged rebellions in 1990 and 2007. Even though both ended with ceasefires and brought calm to the region, the end of the Libyan civil war saw Tuareg rebels receiving heavy weapons from Libya. And because some of them fought with Gaddafi's government, they are also experienced with a variety of warfare techniques that national armies do not. The first MNLA attacks of the new rebellion, which are also backed by Islamic groups, Ansardine, and the Movement for Oneness and Jihad in West Africa, began in January 2012 at the far eastern parts of Mali. Rebel forces advanced unopposed as they entered the towns of Dire and Gondom, located at the southwest of the major city of Timbuktu, directly threatening the central government's control of the north. Dissatisfied with the situation, soldiers led by Amadou Sanogo formed the National Committee for the Restoration of Democracy and State and launched a coup against President Amadou Toumani Touré in March, despite it was condemned by the UN Security Council and the African Union.
Mutiny in Mali. Soldiers surround the presidential palace in the capital, Bamako. Members of the military moved in on the country's seat of power late on Wednesday. They say they're angered because the government, specifically the president and defense minister, have failed to deal properly with a rebellion in the country's north. Grievances, analysts believe, the government did not take seriously enough. Earlier, the mutineers had taken control of the state television channel, interrupting broadcast with a message telling citizens that the military would address them shortly. Hours later, a group of uniformed officers made the following statement.
Considering the incapacity of the regime,
in light of the government's failure to combat terrorism and prevent the killing of our people, in order to protect the Constitution, we, the Guards of the Republic, have decided to put an end to this failed regime and remove President Amadou Toumani Touré.
Behind this heavily guarded military base on the outskirts of the capital, Bamako, Mali's new strongman runs the country. Captain Sanogo is reaching out to politicians and religious leaders to gather support for his military coup against President Amadou Toumani Touré. Faced with mounting international pressure and calls for his junta to restore constitutional order, the man appears determined to go ahead with his plans.
Even though I know for this coming time I'm going to be under pressure, but my feeling was what? I get satisfaction. This satisfaction was about what? Because my people, I save it.
The military junta is stitching together a new government that will run the country, but Captain Sanogo will have the final say.
What I'm planning to do right now, as a soldier, I don't belong to a political party. I'm not a political man. I'm not willing to have a political career. So what I'm planning is very soon, it's a matter of days. First of all, my group has to be well known, which I may probably do, you know, tonight or tomorrow. The second point will be what? Is to designate a prime minister.
An agreement was later reached between the new junta and negotiators from the Economic Community of Western Africa States, or ECOWAS, in April, in which both Sanogo and Touré would resign and the mutineers would be granted amnesty. Political power then would pass to Diokonda Traoré, the Speaker of Mali's National Assembly. But during the uncertainty following the coup, the rebels launched their own offensive, capturing several towns and army camps abandoned by the National Army. They also captured the regional capitals of Kidal and Gao and seized control of Timbuktu with little resistance. Afterwards, the MNLA declared Northern Mali independent from the rest of the country, renaming it the Independent State of Azawad. The EU and the African Union rejected its declaration.
In a statement on their website, the group said the decision was irreversible, but the regional bloc, ECOWAS, says it'll protect the territorial integrity of Mali. Well, the Tuareg people are scattered across several countries in North Africa, but the MNLA is limiting its proclaimed state to northern Mali. It's still a vast area and bigger than the rest of the country. Well, the three main towns of Azawad are Kidal, Giao, and the ancient city of Timbuktu. Mossa Ag Atathar is the spokesman for the Tuareg MNLA fighters. He says independence for Azawad is their inalienable right.
We are a liberation movement and we support the principles and values of democracy. We distance ourselves completely from any Islamist movement and their fight for religious law. Our aim is liberation, which we gain today with the proclamation of independence. There is no possible comparison between the MLNA and the Islamist movements.
However, after proclaiming independence, clashes within the rebels started to escalate. While the MNLA's aim was to achieve independence and had no religious alignment, the Islamic groups were aiming to impose Sharia law in the new state. As a result, the MNLA was soon driven from Gao and Timbuktu and lost all of its strongholds in a matter of months in June that year, then were forced to realign with the central government to fight against the Islamists. In October, the UN Security Council approved of foreign intervention at the request of Mali and ECOWAS. After the strategic town of Kona, which is located 600 kilometers from Bakomo, fell to Islamist forces, then French President François Hollande announced Operation Sevelle to intervene in Mali, and it would last, quote, as long as necessary. Other countries from Western Africa also provided military support for Mali.
Le Mali fait face à une agression d'éléments terroristes.
Mali is facing an attack of terrorist elements coming from the north, while the whole world wants the brutality and the fanaticism to stop. Therefore, today, the very existence of this friendly state Mali and the security of its population, as well as our own population, there are 6,000 there, are at stake.
Et celle également de nos ressortissants. Ils sont 6,000 là-bas.
Therefore, I have responded to the demands for help from the President of Mali, supported by West African countries,
appuyé par les pays africains de l'Ouest.
Accordingly, the armed French forces have brought this afternoon their support to the Malian units to fight against these terrorist elements. This operation will last as long as necessary
pour lutter contre ces éléments terroristes.
The terrorists must know that France will always be there, not for its own interests, but for the rights of a population, that of Mali, which wants to live free and in democracy.
With the help of foreign troops, Mali troops successfully regained the northern half of the country from Islamist groups in 2014. But France afterwards immediately launched Operation Barkhane, which currently deployed 4,500 troops in the Sahara region, and they have a mandate to operate across borders. 5 countries in the region, Burkina Faso, Mali, Chad, Mauritania, and Niger, also formed their own security alliance to combat jihadist groups, the G5 Sahel. But why is France so invested in the Sahel? Security consultant Paul Buchanan says this relates to France's colonial past in West Africa.
One reason is what you might call the post-colonial legacy. And the post-colonial legacy has two separate strands, although they're interwoven. On the one hand, the Mali, as well as the other Sahel countries, are former French colonies. And France has bilateral relationships with them, including a bilateral defense treaty with the Malians, and retains fairly extensive diplomatic ties with all of the Sahel countries, Mali in particular. And part of that is due to the second strand, which is its economic interests. France has been exploiting those colonies in the post-colonial era for their minerals. And, for example, Niger has the fourth largest reserves of uranium in the world, and that happens to be under mostly French control. And they feel a little bit besieged by the growing presence of Chinese resource of extractive enterprises, which have now started to compete with the French in the Sahel. And so obviously enough, they have a material interest in keeping their relationship with these countries as good as possible. And that can be very fraught because, you know, needless to say, the colonial experience was not viewed favorably by many of the local people. And there still are, some negative feelings about the French. And so the French have to actually walk fairly delicately when it comes to any intervention in these countries.
Despite the worst loss of military life since 1983, President Emmanuel Macron and the general public in France remains committed to the military campaign and the alliance with the Sahel governments. Paris is desperate for other European countries or NATO to do more to help share the burden.
Let me tell you, all options are on the table. Against this backdrop, and depending on the decisions France takes, greater involvement by our allies is something that would of course be very helpful.
NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said he is optimistic about a positive response by its members if France officially puts in a request to ask for assistance.
NATO has the capacity to do a wide range of issues in support of France in Sahel, but will not do that unless France asks
us to do so. If Emmanuel Macron puts a formal request to you, General Secretary, we want you to participate actively in a muscular way in our operations in Sahel, you will be ready to put up those troops.
Well, I cannot promise that on behalf of 28 other allies without consulting with them, but the way I know those allies, I am quite optimistic and I'm absolutely confident that they will seriously consider any request from France, because NATO allies understand the importance of the fight against terrorists also in the Sahel region.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.